John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, within the Hebrew Golgotha. It was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. They cried out, Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment, made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled which said, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Shall we pray? Our God and Heavenly Father, our hearts are full of gratitude tonight for the finished work of thy beloved Son. We feel so unworthy, O God, of even giving the permission to read the Holy Scriptures. And so, our Father, we would turn this meeting over to Thyself and to Thy Holy Spirit and pray, our God, for those who have been the subjects of prayer for years, that they may see no man save Jesus only. Father, we would ask Thee to look upon the face of Thine anointed tonight and be pleased to save some precious souls in Jesus' name. I have no pet theme tonight. I have no ways of presenting it. And I would like those in our meeting tonight who do not know the joy of sins forgiven, just for this brief moment, as it were, to close your eyes, to come with me again to the place called Calvary. And if the work of Christ and the sufferings of Christ does not melt your heart and bow your knee to embrace Him, I'm afraid you will pass by the cross of Christ and be lost for all eternity. For there is salvation in none other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You're in a favored place tonight. You're in what we call the gospel hall, the hall where you're going to hear good news, but news that is so good, one preacher, that when I think of the sufferings of Christ for my guilty soul, I trust that I will never stop having this heart of mine affected when I realize that He had to die for me. I want to take you to the place called Calvary tonight. For let me remind you that of all the favors that have been bestowed upon you, the greatest message that you've ever heard, that message of God's redeeming love, the cross of Christ, that is the greatest privilege that your ears have ever heard. I want you to realize, my dear friend, tonight, for you remember this, your precious soul is loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me remind you that although God loves you, you have a will that God has given you,
The prodigal had a will. And when he came to himself, he says, I will arise and go to my Father. And you have a will tonight, and it will be this, I will receive Christ, or I will not. I want you to draw near to the place called Calvary. I want you to get past any of the preachers. I would like to center your thoughts upon this finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember often we used to sing that hymn, Why Was He There, the Bearer of Sins? Dear friend, I want to point out tonight, as our brother has reminded us, that Calvary was a must in the divine plan of God's love. There was no such a thing as the Lord Jesus coming into this world, living a good life, and going back to glory. The Bible said that he must die and he must rise again from the dead. It was essential in the purposes of God that his Son would go to Calvary's cross. And I want to point out to you tonight some of the reasons why. Since our first parents sinned against God, sin had been accumulating before God for all those centuries. Sin had been piling up before God, and it was a stench in his nostrils. My dear friend, let me remind you this, that God hates sin. It's sin that is separated. It is sin that has saturated this world. And in our meeting tonight, if you're not saved, I believe for some of you, it is because you love what God hates. You love your sin. You don't want rid of it. Maybe you regret some of the things that sin has brought you into, or the fruits of sin. But my friend, until you get a sight of sin and how hateful it is in the sight of God, and you get a sight of yourself as a sinner, let me remind you, unless you see that, you'll not flee to Christ for refuge. One of the reasons that the Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross is that he might deal with that accumulated load of sin that was before our holy God. All those sins had to be dealt with. Sin in Adam and all its corruption. And all the weakness and wickedness that was brought into this world, the Lord Jesus had to deal with the sin question. But also in love to your soul, he went there and he represented the sinner before a holy God. He took the place that was not His. He took the place that was the creature's place, the creature of His hand. At the place called Calvary, He took the place of the sinner. Lord Jesus Christ also became accountable before a holy God for a broken law. Cursed, we read, is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that lovely man of Calvary, knew what it was not only to become accountable to God for accumulated sin, but there he stood before God, accountable for man that he had created. My dear friend, let me remind you this, that there's things about Calvary that I would like you to understand tonight, and I would do it with love for your soul. But at Calvary's cross, in spite of all the grace and love of the heart of God, it was met by the hatred of man's heart. We will not have this man to rule over us. They sat down there and they gambled over the Lord's robe. When he thirsted, they gave him vinegar mingled with gall. That is what your heart and mine is. I'm not speaking now just to sinners. I'm speaking to my own heart. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And at the cross of Calvary, God exposed my heart and your heart, because if you would have been there at the place called Calvary, you would have said, away with them. We will not have this man to rule over us. If you would have heard that one at the place called Calvary say, I thirst, you would have given him vinegar mingled with gall. I say this because I believe it with all my heart. If God was to screw the top of my head off, if there was such a thing, I'm speaking now as one saved by God's grace. If God was to show me what I am by nature, I believe you would carry my body out that door tonight. Such is the deceitfulness of the human heart. God says it is desperately wicked, and I'm not just saying that about your heart, sinner. I'm saying it about my own. I honestly believe the closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of this world, the greater you see and the more marvelously you wonder why the Lord ever thought upon us or saved us at all. Peter, who accompanied with him, he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. The Apostle Paul, in all his writings, He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" That dear prophet that loved the gospel, Isaiah, he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips." So please remember, we're not up here tonight looking down our spiritual nose at you. We're speaking because God in His love revealed to us when we came to the cross of Calvary the desperateness, the awful evil, the incurability of the human heart. And yet, men love their sin. And at the cross of Calvary, they showed their hatred to the love of God. People speak about love. And there's many illustrations. But God says, "Hereby perceive ye the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." That is why tonight, sinner, if we could just get you tonight to look at the place called Calvary. And I believe, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Draw all men unto me." I want you to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was spoken of as the Creator, the one in whose hand your breath is. That blessed one, that impartial God, that we read He sends His sun and rain upon the just and the unjust. That He has given you, and tonight by God's grace, you're breathing God's air. He created you. And yet you find that the cross of Calvary, puny creature, putting to death the one that loved and the one that made him. Oh, my friend, Calvary, oh, Calvary, that you could come there tonight and look out and see that lovely man of Calvary, the Son of God we heard there, that Paul speaks of, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. There, my dear friend, again, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Around that cross we find those words. I believe at the cross of Calvary, it was Satan who rallied the forces, the religious forces, the cultural forces, the government forces. Whatever there was, he got them all together. I want you to realize that you're up against the foe tonight, and he knows his destiny. He knows that he's been